Job on worship this morning, including me. That's what I said, including you. William Herschel was an exceptional musician in the Royal Band in Hanover. He was German-born. His parents, when the Prussian War happened, moved from Germany to England. He was remarkable, especially because he was so good at such a young age. He loved being a part of the military band. He loved to march at the head of the troops when in the day in the 1800s, when the troops went out to battle, the Royal Military Band led the way. And it was just an incredible thing for him. He gloried in all that. Until the war came. And then he had to lead out in the front of the battle and dive into the trenches and spend night after night cold and wet in the trenches. One day he had enough. He got up and escaped to London. A deserter. It was a serious thing to desert. It meant death. And generally, it was death immediately when he was captured. But William evaded capture. He made a living by teaching music to children. He played the harpsichord. He played the harp. He played the flute. He played several instruments. So he taught children. One by one, he became more and more notorious. People began to know who he was. He got an appointment to one of the leads in the local cathedral, and he began to play for them. And while he became quite well known locally, he was still pretty obscure in Hanover, until he became enamored with his other hobby, which was astronomy. And he began to look at the stars, and lo and behold, he found a new planet, one no one ever had known before, Uranus. He finally became established. He became a worldwide hero almost overnight. And one day, while he's basking in the glory of his newfound celebrity status, a knock came on the door, and there were people who ushered him to the king's palace. As he went to the palace, his thinking was, this is it. He got to Windsor Castle, and the king was King George of Hanover. The sovereign from whom he had deserted. He's ushered into the anteroom, and an aide from the king comes out and presents to William a piece of paper, silently. He took the piece of paper, considering what was before him. He wanted to put it in his pocket, but the aide just stood in front of him. He took the paper, he unfolded the paper, And it was a pardon from King George. And the aide smiled and said, "Now the king will see you." When he entered into the king's presence, the king said to him, "Now we can talk, William. You shall be my royal astronomer. You're going to live at Windsor. You're going to be Sir William Herschel." King George had made him clean before the law and then made him royalty. It's the best illustration that I could find of Jehovah Makadish, our next name. It reflects the facet of the character of God, the Lord who sanctifies. Now, just for a moment or two, let's rehearse a bit. Genesis, the book of beginnings, reveals the provision of redemption from sin under the name of Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide a way. And then we get to Exodus, the book that depicts the redemption of the nation of Israel from Egypt, and we find the meaning of Jehovah Jireh shows us the sacrificial lamb. This was the highest priority for the people of Israel to learn of God, that he provides a way. And then we find that name, Jehovah Rapha, in the book of Exodus, which related to the fact that Jehovah is the one who heals the hurts in our lives. Jehovah, peace. Jehovah, peace. And now we come to the book of Leviticus. So we're in Genesis, Exodus, and now we come to Leviticus. Leviticus is the guidebook for his newly redeemed people, showing them how to worship, how to serve, how to obey a living God, a holy God. Fellowship with God through sacrifice and obedience showed the awesome holiness of God. That's the point of the statement that he makes in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 2. "You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." This book focuses on the worship and walk of the nation of Israel, a nation of people whom God called a kingdom of priests. He called them a holy nation. Leviticus shows how God's people are to fulfill their priestly role. Leviticus, the whole book, Leviticus takes about 30 days from the time that the people of Israel are camped at the foot of Mount Sinai. If there's a central theme to the book of Leviticus, it would be the holiness of God. How an unholy people can approach him and then remain in continued fellowship with him. The way to God was and is only through a blood sacrifice. And the walk with God is a walk that is only accomplished through obedience to him. In connection with the moral and spiritual purity, the name of God is repeated 6 times in 2 chapters. This particular name, Jehovah Makadish. If you open your Bibles to chapter 20, verse 7, you'll see it says this. I'll let you get there. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7. It says this, "Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. Keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord, Makadish. I am the Lord who sanctifies you." If you go down to the 24th verse, it says, "I am the Lord who separated you." That's that same, "I am the Lord, Makadish. I am the Lord that separates you." If you go up into the 26th verse, "I am the Lord. I, the Lord, am holy and have separated you. I am the Lord, Makadish." You'll find it again in chapter 7 of verse 21, and there are six times in these two chapters, and that particular name is brought out. Six times he repeats this. The Hebrew word that's translated here as sanctify or holy is translated by several other English words as well, such as dedicate or consecrate or sanctuary or hallowed. All those words are words that indicate something about this word, Makadish. In its various forms, it occurs, especially holy and often by the Holy One, it occurs 700 times in the Old Testament. 700 times. It's interesting to note that of all the names of God, this is the one that's almost never transliterated. How many of you ever heard of the name Jehovah Makadish? That's what I figured. I said Jehovah Jireh, probably half of you would raise your hands. This word is probably the most important word when it comes to defining who God is. He is the Lord who sanctifies us. How we get to that, let me go to this. The primary word of the word makid is to be set apart or separate. It applies to times and seasons. Remember, it talked about the fact that particular feasts were holy to God. There were fasts in Israel that were holy to God. The seventh day was what? Holy to God. It was separate. It was different. It was set apart. It's also used of places. The camp of Israel was called holy. The hill of Zion was called holy. The city of Jerusalem, holy. The altar, holy. The tabernacle, holy. The temple, holy. Makid, set apart, separate, different. It was also used of people. People were set apart from birth, even before birth. A notable one would be Samuel, who was pledged even before conception that he would be set apart for God. Exodus 13:2 points out the firstborn of Israel was to be holy, set apart, makid. Jeremiah was set apart as a prophet. The high priest was set apart. The entire priesthood, we could actually say that the nation of Israel was set apart. The point to all this, every instance, the point to all this is that all these instances of the use of the word is its contact with God. The Sabbath day was holy. Why? Because God rested in it. The sanctuary was so named because it was the dwelling place of Jehovah among the people. as himself the Holy One. Jehovah is apart from and above all else in the universe. Deuteronomy 4:35 says, Jehovah, he is God. There is none else besides him. Isaiah 44:6, I am the first, I am the last, and besides me, there is no God. 1 Samuel 2, there is none holy as Jehovah, for there is none beside him. He is holy. The most fundamental, the most impressive, the most important of all the attributes of God is his holiness. Nathan Stone, in his book, quoted an old Scottish divine, and that Scottish divine said it this way. He said, it is the balance of all the attributes of deity. Power without holiness would degenerate into cruelty. Omniscience without holiness would become craft. Justice without holiness would degenerate into vengeance. And goodness without holiness would degenerate into passionate, intemperate fondness, doing mischief rather than accomplishing good. It is this holiness which gives to God his grandeur, his majesty, his differentness. And more than anything else, it constitutes his fullness and perfection. Holiness. John tells us God is love, but he does so, he's speaking in a context which emphasizes the quality of love. Power without holiness. These are the ones that I just shared with you. But the bottom line is God is holy. That is the fundamental truth. Everything rests on that. If he is not holy, then everything else crumbles. So what's the application for us? Glad you asked. God's desire is for us to pursue holiness. Let me give you some examples. Leviticus 20, verses 7 and 8 says, consecrate yourselves and be holy, because I am the Lord, your God. Keep my decrees and follow them. I am the Lord who makes you holy. Deuteronomy 7, 6, for you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the people on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession. You say, oh, pastor, that's all Old Testament stuff. All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, it is God's will that you should be sanctified. That word, makid, in the Hebrew, is the same word, set apart, holy. It's God's will that you should be holy, that you should avoid sexual immorality. 1 Thessalonians 4, son, God did not call us to be impure, but to live a separated life, a holy life, a dedicated life, a different life. 1 Peter chapter 5, I love this particular passage. 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy. I would read this way. But just as he who called you is holy, so you be holy in all you do. Because it is written, be holy, because I'm holy. Pursuing holiness is our responsibility. Yet it's God's. It's our work, yet God's work. It means that we have to somehow cooperate with him. I love it when he says, be holy, because I'm the God that makes you holy. It's God's desire that man, who is made in his own image, who corrupted that image through sin, should be restored to that image, which is righteousness and true holiness, putting on that new man, which is after God. Jehovah Makadish. So how do we pursue holiness? Well, the key to pursuing holiness is in relationship. I am the Lord who makes you holy. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, he saved us, speaking of God, who saved us and called us to a holy life. Not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. And this grace was given to us in Christ before the beginning of time. Before the beginning of time. When God calls his people, he calls them for his own purpose. He makes them and he sets them apart and he sanctifies them for that purpose that he called them for. A holy God demands holiness in his people. A God separated, a God who is holy demands holiness in his people. A God who is separated from all that is evil, a God who is too pure to see evil, who is the very antithesis of evil, requires that those people he chooses be holy. These are not optional words. But he will also separate us from evil. Someone has said, well, here's, let me read another passage. It's because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. God will do for us what he knows we cannot do for ourselves. Isn't that wonderful? God will do for us what he knows we can't do for ourselves. How many of you can be holy? I didn't see a single hand. Because you're right, you can't. But he can make us holy. God has endowed us with free will. He commands his people to be holy, but he doesn't force us to be holy. Therefore, holiness is a process, not an accomplished act. He placed within Israel, the basis for redemption. He gave them the power to be holy. He provided them with every incentiveness to holiness. But how did they do? The story of Israel is that of worshiping God and worshiping other gods, and worshiping God and worshiping other gods, and worshiping God and worshiping other gods. It's a constant story of adoration, rebellion, discipline, crying out to God, God coming to the rescue, them worshiping Him, and then them falling away. It's a story. It goes round and round and round. Judges is a perfect picture. Seven times, that series of five is repeated. It's a great picture of who we are and why we need Jehovah Makadosh. Because we need God to sanctify us. Holiness is a process. The term sanctify or separate or made holy means more than the position or relationship in regard to Jehovah. It means participating. Listen to this. It means participating in the nature of Jehovah. His character, his works lived out in us. That's what practical holiness is all about. What I'm saying is that there is more to holiness than just not doing wrong. As Christians, we get so caught in this thing of having a checklist of all the things that I shouldn't do, and, you know, I don't chew and I don't spit. I don't go with the girls that do that kind of thing, you know. You make that little checklist off. But holiness is much more than that. Holiness is a positive and active. God's people are to be holy in practice as well and separate in position. See, we are separate. The Bible teaches us, the New Testament, particularly the book of Ephesians, tells us that we have been separated, that we are positionally in Christ. We are positionally perfect. We are in Christ. We are seen as pure, clean, holy. That's what the book of Ephesians is all about. And then we are supposed to practice that position. It's sort of like a physician who is a practicing medicine, you know. They don't have it perfect. They still haven't figured out what's wrong with me. I'm not sure anybody has. But that tells you they ain't perfect. But they're practicing. They're getting better all the time. We're supposed to practice holiness. We don't have it down, but we're supposed to practice it. Get better all the time. The practice of holiness in His people is outworking the life of God. So how do we do that? Well, what happened? How do we do that? We do that, first of all, by studying God's Word. Listen to what the Scripture says. I had it up there for you. But John chapter 17 and verse 17 says, "Sanctify them by thy truth. Your word is truth." Sanctify, makadosh. Set apart. Set apart. Separate them with truth. Your word is truth. How How do we practice holiness? Well, first of all, we immerse ourselves in the Word of God. First of all, we pursue holiness by spending time in God's Word, and then we pursue holiness by practicing and obeying what we learn from the Word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 through 8 said, "It is God's will that you should be sanctified." Are we going to get that up? I got a whole bunch of verses here I want to read. Holiness, holiness, being set apart, practicing holiness. Nothing in the world is more important to God. Listen to me. Nothing is more important to God than you practicing holiness. Holiness is the best definition of God. And I've said this to you many times. His plan is that he would like to reproduce his son in your life every day. We probably aren't going to get those. Let me read these scriptures. 1 Thessalonians 3:8. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, set apart, holy, makidish, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that you would learn to control your own body in a way that is holy, separated, different, and not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God. And that in this matter, no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. The Lord will punish men for such sins, as we have already told you and warned you. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, he who rejects the introduction, this instruction, does not reject man, but God, who gives us his Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:9, do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor the idolaters, nor the adulterers, nor the male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. That is what some of you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of your God. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Who is in you? Whom you have received from God, not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Romans 12. Oh. It's probably too late now, but. All right. Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. What's that word? Holy. Holy. Pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship. Don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed, talk about the word, transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you'll be able to test and approve of what God's will is, his good, his pleasing, and his perfect will. Not nothing is more important. Nothing is more important than your holiness, than your personal holiness. Nothing, 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 nothing is more important than you being personally holy. First Thessalonians chapter 5 says, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May he set you apart. May he make you special. May he make you unique. May he make you holy through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until the coming of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. How long are we supposed to pursue holiness? What did that passage tell us? How long are we supposed to pursue holiness? Until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me leave you with one little statement. It's one thing for sin to live in us. It's quite another for us to live in sin. Sin lives in us. We're born into that. It's our nature. But it's another thing for us to allow sin to be our life. Jehovah Makadesh. Remember, I started out with this, where Joshua spoke to the people of Israel and he said, choose you this day whom you will serve. And I wanted to give you some ideas of who God is, how God reveals himself through the scripture by the name that he uses. And we've talked about a lot of them. But none are more important than Jehovah Makadesh. The Lord who makes you holy. Father, we pray this morning that we could learn how to discipline ourselves to be holy. That we would move from the avenue of appetite to the boulevard of purity. That we would consciously choose to be holy. May your word infuse us . May that flavor of holiness permeate every facet of our being. That the things we think, the things we say, and the things we do reflect you who are holy. We pray this in your name.